As Meg took her flower, she realized that it was not a single blossom, but hundreds of tiny flowerets forming a kind of hollow bell. "Where are we going?" Calvin asked. "Up." The wings moved steadily, swiftly. The garden was left behind, the stretch of granite, the mighty shapes, and then Mrs. Wetsit was flying upward, climbing steadily up, up. Below them the trees of the mountain dwindled, became sparse, were replaced by bushes and then small, dry grasses, and then vegetation ceased entirely, and there were only rocks, points and peaks of rock sharp and dangerous. "Hold on tight," Mrs. Wetsit said. "Don't slip." Meg felt Calvin's arm circle her waist in a secure hold. Still they moved upward. Now they were in clouds. They could see nothing but drifting whiteness, and the moisture clung to them and condensed in icy droplets. As Meg shivered, Calvin's grip tightened. In front of her, Charles Wallace sat quietly. Once he turned just long enough to give her a swift glance of tenderness and concern. But Meg felt, as each moment passed, that he was growing farther and farther away, that he was becoming less and less her adored baby brother, and more one with whatever kind of being Mrs. What's-It, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Which in actuality were. Abruptly they burst out of the clouds into a shaft of light. Below them there were still rocks. Above them the rocks continued to reach up into the sky. But now, though it seemed miles upward, Meg could see where the mountain at last came to an end. Mrs. Wetsit continued to climb, her wings straining a little. Meg felt her heart racing. Cold sweat began to gather on her face, and her lips felt as though they were turning blue. She began to gasp. "All right, children, use your flowers now," Mrs. Wetsit said. "The atmosphere will continue to get thinner from now on. Hold the flowers up to your face and breathe through them, and they will give you enough oxygen. It won't be as much as you're used to, but it will be enough." Meg had almost forgotten the flowers and was grateful to realize that she was still clasping them, that she hadn't let them fall from her fingers. She pressed her face into the blossoms and breathed deeply. Calvin still held her with one arm, but he too held the flowers to his face. Charles Wallace moved the hand with the flowers slowly, almost as though he were in a dream. Mrs. Wetsit's wings strained against the thinness of the atmosphere. The summit was only a little way above them, and then they were there. Mrs. Wetsit came to rest on a small plateau of smooth, silvery rock. There, ahead of them, was a great white disk. "One of Uriel's moons," Mrs. Wetsit told them, her mighty voice faintly breathless.
"Oh, it's beautiful," Meg cried. "It's beautiful!"